can read the bulletin for today and notice the intention that we have for this Mass, the 10:45 a.m. Mass. The intention for Mass today, which falls in line with our thoughts on the Church Unity Octave, is that we're praying today through the power of the Mass and all of us praying together for this intention, for the removal of obstacles that come up against unity. Unity is important. In fact, it's the opening prayer of the prayer that's prayed every day during this church octave. It's the words of our Lord himself addressed to his Heavenly Father, where he says that he prays that all can be one, as thou, Father, in me and I in thee, that they can be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Jesus' prayer for unity of all people is to be the great proof that more and more people who come in that spirit of unity, more and more people will understand Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to follow him, to follow his teachings, his rules, to make a pattern of their life after his, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, is all going to be based upon this point of unity. But there are obstacles to this. Even though Jesus prays for this point, you think, this is Almighty God. You know, everything God prays for, everything God wants, God gets. Except where it has to do with human beings. When he made us, he gave us a free will that not even he will interfere with. You've heard this before. I know from me, in preaching the pulpit, you've probably read it and you've heard it from other people. It's the philosophy of the human being, our free will, the freedom of will that we're given. The importance of that freedom of will is that God has given to us and left it so sovereign, if you will, that once we have made our will and work within our wills, God is not going to force and change our will. He can't force it. In the same way that we say the evangelists that wrote the gospel were not forced to write what they wrote because that by the Holy Ghost forcing them, because God will not force the will of men, God so presented things, the teachings to them, that infallibly they wrote down what they were inspired to see, but they weren't forced to write that because of the freedom of will. Same thing with us. There's that freedom of will. We have the choice to follow God or not. We have the choice to do what we know in following the commandments or abandon them. We have the choice to follow the commandments or do so in a loving way, in a strong way, or to do so in some way that's very weak and apathetic. We have a choice. And this is one of the great obstacles that comes up to unity. It's making that right choice. We pray for people. We pray for the conversion of sinners. We pray for the salvation of souls. We pray for so many things. But there's obstacles here. Obstacles on the outside of those for whom we pray. Their own individual pride. The pride they have of life. The pride of their own thoughts. The pride of their own opinions. The pride of saying, my religion is better than yours, my religion is greater than yours, your religion has a lot of sinners, and my religion follows this particular point. Or I have no religion at all. I don't believe in a God. It's another statement of pride. An obstacle to unity are people who think that way. They have that because of the stubbornness of their will. God will give grace to all men to help them in every way. But it's up to us, or men rather, to accept that grace. God's grace cannot force us to do anything. It can influence us, but it won't force us. And that's the important thing to consider in here as we pray for the conversion of sinners. Because, you know, there's so many people over the years of my priesthood, even before, people would say, I'm praying for this particular person. Pray my heart's out. I'm just, everything going here, I'm going silly praying all these particular prayers because I keep praying and praying and praying. It does no good. How long have you been praying? Well, about a week. As if it's supposed to be some master prayer that comes up at that particular point, like a silver bullet, that once I have this particular prayer, then everything's changed. No. The will of the people for whom we pray is important. The way in which I pray is important, too. But speaking of others here, first of all, and the obstacles of that stubbornness of will and the opinions of men. We live in such an opinionated society to the point that people will say, well, you're going to have your opinion, I have mine. But if your opinion, or my opinion, is evil and wrong and sinful, then nobody has a right to hold something which is error. But that's not the way our society looks at it today. And so if we try to present to people the truths of the Catholic faith and they think it's only an opinion, that's all they're going to look at it. Grace needs to come to show them this is what the best things for their souls. Salvation is important. Belief in God and all that God has done for us is important. But those are some of the obstacles that we meet with in other people as we pray for them. But it's not the only obstacles. Other obstacles work in us. We present obstacles in praying and working for the salvation of souls that will stop, not completely the grace of God from moving, unless it's such a great obstacle it would do that, but at least not moving the hearts of people as it could be because we win so few graces. For example, people may pray. You and I may pray for conversion of sinners. Pray these prayers that we're praying for the Church Unity Octave. Mumble the words there that we know we should in working for the salvation of souls at that particular point. I'm going to pray for church unity and yet be lacking in fervor. Fervor being a desire to love God and serve Him in every way. To overcome distractions in my life. Fervor. This is what fervor is. Fervor isn't, you know, all these a warm and fuzzy feeling on the inside as I pray. That's not what fervor is. Fervor is, I love God. And my love for God is so strong, I'm going to pray and talk to Him well and correctly. But if we're lacking in fervor in prayer, we may gain some graces, but the fruit of our prayer, the great majority of it, won't come through because of our lack of fervor. We're our own obstacles to working for the conversion of sinners. The opinions that we might have from blogs and things of that particular nature. We want to go teach something about Catholicism and have completely the wrong idea. Study the catechism? No, I did that while I was in grade school. I'm going to read what it says on the internet. Make them be completely wrong, have somebody's own idea regarding Catholicism, the practice of the church, traditions, whatever. And I say, well, that sounds good. But haven't bothered to read and to understand and study continually what it is the church presents to me. I'd rather follow these blogs because they sound right. They're more modern in their thinking than going along with teaching in the church. That way, I become an obstacle to conversion of people because I'm not teaching them the true Catholic faith. I don't even know it myself anymore. There's an obstacle that comes from the very little love for souls. We are here to love what God loves, and what God loves is souls. That's why He sent His Son. God sent His only begotten Son into the world for the salvation of sinners, that all who believe Him may have life and life everlasting, as the Scriptures tell us. But if we don't have that same love for souls, why even pray during this Church Unity Octave? Why even pray at other times for the needs of other people? I don't love souls, I love myself. I love other things, but not the salvation of souls. St. James has an interesting quote. His epistle is full of interesting quotes that are like little mottos for us in so many different ways about prayer and so many things like this. But in this particular instance, he says, "He who works to save another man's soul will certainly save his own." If I have such a love for the soul of another person that I want to see, because Jesus died for that soul, and I want that soul to be happy with God forever in heaven. But I have such little love for God myself, I don't realize how much God loves me individually. So therefore, my love for other souls is so weak. But if I would learn to love souls, love God, I'm on a pathway to better help myself and work for my own salvation in the right way. What keeps people, what keeps us, the chief obstacle that comes up is the word apathy. Basically, I don't care. Too much work. It's too hard to accomplish it. I'll pray a couple of times. I'll go to Mass on Sunday, and that's when I'm going to pray for souls. After that, I'm so busy, Father, got so many other things going on like this. I just don't want to. I don't have time. It doesn't seem right. It doesn't inspire me. There's a lack of zeal. We can sum it all up that way, our own obstacle. A lack of zeal. Zeal. The concept here of zeal is that I so love God and I know what God has done to me in my heart and soul that I also love others. And I love others so much in the love of God that I want everything in their life to be patterned in the ways of God. I don't want the death of Jesus on the cross to be wasted in that individual that I see at work, at school, my own family members, neighbors, whomever it might be. I do not want the salvation, the working salvation of Christ for our souls, his death upon the cross, it can be wasted for that individual. Yes, he died for the guilt of their sins. But until people repent and follow Jesus, the fruit of his death upon the cross isn't there. And if I don't have that love for souls that way, then who am I? I can say I love my fellow man. I want to do all these things. I'll go do this great walk, you know, for cancer. I'll do this great walk here. I'll also run Bloomsday because that's fun to do. But I'll do all of these particular things here. But you talk to me about zeal for souls, praying for others, bringing them to God in every particular way. Father, I don't have time. That's your job, Father. That's a job of the sisters. You can have your love for souls that way. I love my family. Isn't that good enough? No. When we understand things about zeal, and zeal is based upon our faith. Remember, we talked during Advent about the virtue of faith all the way through, to the point it's a lively faith. I take the principles of faith, what I learn in the Gospels, what I understand about the Catechism, all those particular teachings, I have a belief here, and I put it into practice. It's this faith that I put into practice. It's this faith that I know to be right and true. It's this faith that has made a difference in my life that I want to share with others. That's zeal. Not just to share it with them to make them good and happy, but share them so they can love God and understand what it means to love God. Get away from the error of the time and come to love Him. That's zeal. And that's what's missing in so many things. We're being outdone by those who are not members of our own faith, whether it be the Protestants, whether it be atheists, I don't care who it is. We who say we have the truth are being outdone in zeal for the work that we have. Witness all these other people, how much they will talk to friends at work or at school. Their very lives will influence people in everything they think, say, and do. But how many of us can say we do that too? How many of us will have that our zeal is such and so strong that my words, my example, the way I work, the way I talk, the way I walk, the way I dress, the things, the conversations I have at work or at school, how I try and inspire toward patience and whatever understanding of my own members of my own family. Those things there, if I had zeal, I could see in all of those things and more opportunities given to me by God to work for the salvation of souls. God has put people in front of me to take all these things with a lively faith. It's not enough to say I know this, but it's alive within me, and I want to share that with other people. That's what takes zeal. This is where we start to understand through the work of what is called Catholic Action. Every one of us is called to work for the salvation of souls. God puts souls in front of us each and every day, either by word, by example, people we may not know, but they see us, they witness us, they hear us speak, and they say, there is a person who has principle in their life. I wish I could find out more. Starts the germs of faith in their hearts and souls, and the grace of God now comes and waters and plants it, and it starts to grow even more. This is what zeal for souls is all about. This is how we work for people. This is how all of us, not just me as a priest or the sisters, how all of us work as missionaries for souls to bring them closer to God. Having this lively faith, this love for God, and wanting to share it with others. The source of true happiness is found in the way that I love God and have my whole life patterned after that love. I'm miserable when I walk away from God, when I become selfish in my life, in morals, in teachings, in opinions, I become a miserable person, an angry person, a selfish person. But when I love God and live by that love and make that a part of my life, it's changing. It changes me and can help to change other people. So we talk today about obstacles to unity. We've talked about many of them right here. Obstacles on the part of other people. Obstacles on my part to work toward overcoming and accomplishing that fact. Well, let's all join in prayer together during this Mass as we pray that the obstacle to unity may be removed, wherever they may be, in praying for a loved one, for stubbornness of will there, that will, that stubbornness will start to be beaten down and more conforming to God. If it's on my part, what can I do now to be more loving toward God, living in a spirit of faith? And in that sense, have a true zeal for soul. Wherever the obstacles may be, let's pray that they disappear. Because as long as those obstacles are there, the prayer of Christ, that all may be one, as thou, Father, in me, and I in thee, isn't going to be fulfilled. In that same prayer, it's the opening prayer, you know, for the church beyond the octave. It's part of the same prayer that's prayed during Mass, just before communion. And it's the oration that comes after our Lord's quote. We pray to Almighty God, regard not my sins, but the faith of thy church. My sins, even as I pray, can keep grace from coming to people. My faults, my failings that I'm attached to, can keep me away. Great obstacles that come up. Dear God, regard not these sins. I'm a sinner and I know that I'm working to overcome them. But the faith of thy church loves thee. Thy church does everything for thee. Regard the faith of thy church. Win graces for these souls. Let the desire of Christ, that all may be one, fulfilled. Great work, a lot of work to do. Yeah. But the apostles fulfilled it too. They saw a great work was just a kind of a great challenge. God loves me, God knows me so much that he will give me great things to do and to accomplish. If God doesn't give me great things to do, maybe he knows that I'm just a small and weak person who doesn't want to overcome that weakness, who's apathetic and lacking in zeal. But if I have zeal, I love him, he's going to ask me to accomplish great things. He's going to ask me to overcome the obstacles in my life so that souls will be saved. Let's join in that prayer at Mass today, and we'll see how much that works to help that wish, that desire for Christ, that all may be one, fulfilled, even in our lifetime, among the people we know. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.